Good morning, all my brothers and sisters. It's good to see your smiling faces. Welcome. It's my pleasure to welcome you all right here to Park Place Christian Church, the place where it's all happening. That beautiful Sunday morning. Might have a little wind, but that's okay. And today is going to be our pleasure to have Lou Pierce in the pulpit. So let's be sure to give him a big round of applause when he gets up there. Pastor Jerry and Mary are serving as coordinators at the Grand Camp at Camp Taco. There too. They're going to be there. My name is Brent Sumner. I know it's because it's on my name tag that my wife makes me wear, because that way she knows who I am also. And we'd like to welcome each and every one of you. And in order to know who's here today, please sign the signature pad in your aisle right there so we can keep a record of the attendance. And if you see a visitor, smile and greet them. Make them feel welcome. And if you're sitting next to somebody you've sat next to for 25 years, smile and greet them also. Make them feel welcome, and they'll make you feel welcome. If you're joining us today online, we'd like to know that you're out there. Enter a comment like good morning or the emoji of the praying hands. Or if you can see me online, send that googly-eyed emoji. It don't hurt my feelings none. Just send it in so we know you're there. And if you have any concerns, prayer requests, anything, please let us know. And I'm sure we have a committee hosted by Cindy Blevins and Sean that they'll get back with you just as quick as they can and take care of your prayer requests. Today we have a card for Frank's lawyer to let him know that his church family is thinking about him and lifting him up in prayer. We ask that if you have not already signed the card, please take a moment and stop by and sign it on your way out, just to let him know and give him encouragement. You'll find a list of the upcoming events and announcements, as well as the schedule of activities for our church family in your bulletin. And one other that is a fantastic event for fellowship is the Fifth Monday meeting. And Jay has all the information and the sign-up sheet out there. And not only is it a good meal, but it's a good fellowship and a good time. We'll meet here Monday, a week from Monday, I think, that we'll leave the church here at 5 o'clock, and then we'll carpool up there, and it's up at Lyons, and Sean's nodding that I know you'll be here and help out with the carpool. So if you can make it, great. It's a good time, good time. And now, are there any other announcements?
Good morning. What a glorious day. Are we ready for some more activities here in the church?
Yes.
All right. On June 28th, next Saturday, we're having another dinner and a movie. Beginning with free pizza, we're asking you to bring a salad if you'd like. And then enjoy the movie, The Forge. The Forge tells the story of Isaiah Wright, a 19-year-old who lives for basketball and video games. A year out of high school, he still has no job, no plans, and no idea of what he wants to do in life. He has some growing up to do. He is challenged by his single mom and a successful businessman to start charting a better course for his life. Through the prayers of his mother and biblical discipleship from his new mentor, Isaiah begins to discover God's purpose for his life is so much more than he could hope for or imagine. Plan on joining us for a great night of good food and fellowship. Next, we will be having an indoor church yard sale. It's not a garage sale because we don't have a garage, but we do have a yard. So it's going to be an indoor yard sale on July 18th and 19th. So bring all your unwanted stuff that has been laying around your house, your shop, your garage, and donate it to the sale. Bring your items to the fellowship hall or call me and we'll make arrangements to pick it up, or you can call the office. All proceeds will go towards the LED sign. I already have 1/4 of my garage and closets cleaned out. It's a great feeling. We have handout cards in the foyer to give to your neighbors, friends, and coworkers to help us advertise. And we hope to see you all at both activities. Thank you.
This morning, I'd like to share with you a report from the Church Extension Fund. We contacted Jim Michaels, who is the Building and Capital Service Advisor, in regards to what funds were available for the possibility of the new sign. He went ahead and did a complete report of the church on comparing it to today's requirements versus where it was when it was first constructed many years ago. Next week, Thank You Fellowship, we're switching Sundays with the Fifth Sunday Fellowship, and we're going to have muffins with the moderator next week and discuss the items that have been listed in this printout. This will give you an opportunity to read it, look at it, digest it, say, oh, that'd be a good idea, or definitely no, we need to keep that. So, again, these are all just suggestions and ideas. There's been no commitment and no action taken on any of them. But in order for the executive board and the board to know where we needed to move or how we wanted to address the funds, then we thought it would be important to get feedback. And so this will also come out in the Visitor this week for electronic copy. But sometimes as you read things, you can make highlights and notes as to what you think about it. So again, I want to make sure everybody gets a copy of this to take home this week to look at. And if you can't be here next week, be sure and get a hold of either David Schreiner or myself and share your thoughts on what you have. Thank you.
Are there any other announcements? If not, let us prepare ourselves for worship. And this is when I come and walk up here. But I was already here, so I thought I'd just stand here. On our call to worship, please stand if you're able and join in on the call of worship. Eternal God, by your word, you created us.
Give us grace to listen to your created word.
Loving Christ, you speak your word and we are healed.
Give us grace to listen to your loving word.
Holy Spirit, you speak in our hearts in the sound of sheer silence.
Give us grace to listen to your silent word.
We open the ears of our hearts and we worship you. Please join me in singing number 562, all verses. Please join me in prayer. God of truth, from you no secrets are hid. You hear what is on our minds. You know what is deep within us. We long to know your word, to hear your voice, to feel your presence. We long to know you as you know us. As we wait in your presence now, speak to us in Scripture, in words, in silence, in song. May your whispering voice come to us and touch our hearts. And the people said, Amen.
Good morning. Time for celebrations and concerns.
And I have a celebration because I want to celebrate the bulletin this morning. One of the primary reasons is it brings back a lot of memories, because this is the way it was for I don't know how many years and seasons here at the church. And also, I remember it. There was a line drawing of a picture of the sanctuary on the front, and down it below was our motto at the time. And the motto was from Micah chapter 6, verse 8. If you remember the little gadgets that Mary gave out a few weeks ago here at the church, one of them was a chain with this little fob on the end of it. And that was what was a theme on the bottom of the bulletin. What does God require of you? To act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. Brings back a lot of nice memories to see this and think about that was on the bulletin. On the other point of that, more of a sad note, certainly, Ivan Schrock passed the last couple of days, and we just found out about that, have no other information. Does anybody else have any information or details in regard to that? Okay, joys and concerns this morning.
This is Danny Stahl. I have a joy today, so I got to do two games at Wichita State, so I can mark that off my bucket list now. That's a big stadium, too.
Visitors, Kirby. I was going to, this is from last week, in the fact that I just plain forgot to do it. My brother Bill Ackley has just recently been put on hospice care. I don't know how long that will last or anything. They live here in town, and I do know he is confined mostly to the house and to a wheelchair. And I think he was in Vietnam and was a sailor. What else? Margie doesn't know it, but she's going to continue for me.
Bill is a wonderful person. He's been struggling most of his life due to exposure to Agent Orange. Right now he is comfortable and able to get out and around a bit, but we ask for prayers for both Bill and his family. And then on another note, I would like to say thank you to all of those who enjoyed the play at the Flag Theater, the Community Foundation play, or Community Family Theater, for the MASH performance. I heard that the part of Trapper John was awesome. Did a great job, and he did a lot of maturing over this past 2 months that he's been working on it. They have one more performance this afternoon at 3 o'clock. If at all possible, I encourage you to go and enjoy it. It's a great time. Thank you.
Are there others? And let's go to God in prayer. Father, as we approach your throne this morning, may we take a few seconds in silence to lift our own voices, those that have not been said out loud today, give you praises, or ask for special blessings. So let's take this time for that. Dear God, as we continue
We know you hear the prayers that were lifted up to you. You know you hear the prayers in our hearts that haven't been spoken yet, because you know us. And you know what's on our thoughts and our minds and in our hearts at all times. And we praise you and give you the glory that we're so close to you because you have invited us to be there. We give you thanks for all blessings that you provide for us. We thank you for life each day. We thank you for friends and neighbors. We thank you for this church and all that it means and has been now for over 75 years to this community. And grant us the wisdom to see if things need to change, that we can be more attentive to your needs, and that we might serve you better. We continue to ask for peace, Father. Peace in our individual hearts, peace in our families, peace in places where we work, peace in our communities, and a sort of peace in our nation and the world. We always seem to be on a teetering edge of problems. Help us to get by those in the way that you would want us to. So we just ask that your blessing be with us this morning. Guide and direct us always in the things that we say and do for this day and evermore. And now we continue as we say the prayer that you taught it your disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Our scripture for today is going to be 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 1 through 3. And then for good measures, we're going to add in verse number 13. So follow along and read with me. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I have become as sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And although I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and the knowledge, and though I have no faith, so I could move mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my blood to be burned, my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me none. And now, these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love.
Well, it's all Pastor Jerry's fault. I was certainly blessed to have him to consider following along after the session that we had in Newton a few weeks ago for Spirit Fest about studying love and what it means. He picked up on that and has done sermons during the last several weeks on love, the 13th chapter of Corinthians. So when he invited me to speak this morning, he said, I thought you might want to summarize this time period about love. So that kind of puts you on the spot whenever you're given the title of what you're supposed to be, what you want to talk about. Love has many different versions, as you all know. A young man's fiance had broken off their engagement, but a couple of months later, he received the following letter from her. She said, Dearest Jimmy, No words can ever express the great unhappiness that I've felt since breaking our engagement. Please say you'll take me back. No one can ever take your place in my heart, so please forgive me. I love you. I love you. I love you. Yours forever, Marie. And oh, by the way, congratulations on winning the lottery. Due to the study that we did led on the chapter, one of the duties was to figure out how does God call us to love. So if God calls us to love in that manner, then that's a call to action. So it makes love a verb. So how do we deal with this? We'd have to know what it is before we could do it, right? You have to know that before you can do something. When you consult the Bible, you find that the word love is there over 600 times, depending on the version. And thankful Brent read the charity version this morning. Charity is a word that's used for love, exchanged. So in some versions, charity is used more, so the word love is used less. But overall, it's in the Bible over 600 times. So it's got to be important if it's there that many times. So before digging into any deeper into the Bible, and let's check the dictionary to see what we could do with love. And it says love is affection based on admiration or benevolence. It's warm attraction as enthusiasm or devotion. Unselfish concern that freely accepts another and seeks their good. It's also an attraction based on sexual desire, and then goes on regarding brotherly and fatherly love and concern for others, and then there's that score in tennis called love. And I recall a song from back in the 50s that you may remember or may not. Love is a many splendored thing. The Ames Brothers had the number one hit of that one. So what is really love? Since the New Testament was written in Greek, what does that tell us about the words of love? There are as many as 8 different variations of that word, according to the scholars. And each means how they are to be used as a version of love. But let's look at just the 4 most familiar ones, which you may have related at one time or another. One of them is philo or filio, and this is companionable love, where the city of Philadelphia gets its name. And love speaks of affection, fondness, or liking. It's a higher love than other kind of love because it brings happiness to others, and our happiness because it goes back and forth. Then there's that agape love. Agape is called out by one's heart as specially loved. It's a love of esteem, evaluation. It has the idea of prioritizing one specific event or person. And it's the unconditional love of God. It's not kindled by the merit or worth of its object, but it originates in God's given nature. God is love. It divides in giving, more concerned about the other person than yourself. The 4th one is storge or storge. I may not have all these pronunciations exactly correct, but this is a love that has its basis of one's own nature. It's a natural affection for things, a natural obligation. This is when you say, I love my car, I love my home, you know, I love red, I love watermelon, whatever it is. This is one's nature of obligation. I love my dog. It's quite an abiding feeling for within a man that just rests on something close and you like. And then the last one is eros. This is erotic love. It's a love of passion, of overmastering passion that seizes and absorbs itself into one mind. And it's a one-way love. What can I get out of this? Whatever it is, it comes only from you. You don't care what you take. It's what I want. The basic of self-satisfaction. So there you have from Greek version, the words of love and what they mean. And how do we misuse those words every day? Maybe we just don't have a better command of language. And certainly the Bible does not separate those different versions of love. It just says love. So you have to read and study what that should mean or what it does mean to you. You know, we say we love our wife or our husband. We love our children. We love our sister and brother. We love all these things. We say that. We love gifts. We even have love handles. We say things like, I love my car and so forth. I love cherry pie. Well, we could go on and on with examples, and you understand that. Unfortunately, there are no words or phrases in the English American language to specify these different feelings of love. And so, as I say, you just have to get in and study and learn exactly what those mean in the scriptures that God wants us to read. Over the past 6 weeks, as we mentioned earlier, Jerry has been speaking on Scripture. He's covered the verses regarding what love is and what love is not. That's in the middle of the chapter. So we decided to use the first and the last in our Scripture today. And one of the main reasons being is Paul starts out this chapter talking about what love is and only love. Everything else is just noise. And it also ends with, three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. So Paul does a good job of arguing, presenting his statements and convincing people or trying to convince people. He makes a statement, he tells you why he feels that way, and he wraps it up again. And that's a pretty good way to do an argument. So think about that maybe when you have a subject you want to talk to somebody about or try to convince them about. Paul tried to convince and did convince a lot of people with his procedure. So in that final verse, he states, you can have the faith to believe and the hope of a true believer in God and also have love. And the greatest is love. And as I say, he begins with starting the chapter, nothing is more important than love. And yet he's talking about that unconditional love, that agape love, that is the God type of love. Well, I would also maybe suggest that in addition to the word love, there's another word that came to mind reading what Paul says about love. And that's the word respect. And it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible many times when it means to honor and revere a person or hold them in high esteem. So when I was thinking about respect in this manner, I could not help remember again, going back to songs that run through my mind, Okie from Muskogee, when Merle Haggard said in the song, we respect the college dean, you honor and revere. You keep that in mind. In the same scriptures, in the NIV version of the Bible, where it reads respect, the New King James version reads mostly as honor or revere. So respect, honor, and revere are used interchangeably in the Bible. In both versions, respect is used as a form of love, showing the acceptance of others for their abilities, strength, and position in society. Even in one of the passages, God expects respect. In Malachi 1 and 6, we read, a son honors his father, a servant his master. If I am the father, where is the honor due me? If I am the master, where is the respect due me? Says the Lord Almighty. And in 1 Peter 2:17, show proper respect to everyone, love the brotherhood of believers, fear God. Show proper respect to everyone. In these examples, respect is used as a measure of love, of course. Also, in the Bible, 23 times in the New Testament, we are commanded to love one another. Can feeling be a commandment? No. As we begin today, we're looking at love as a verb, as in how God would want us to love. And that's quite plain. It's stated in John 13, verses 34 and 35. Jesus is teaching his disciples, saying, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another." Doesn't leave much doubt as to how we're supposed to love, does it? We also find in the first letter of John, chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." So the Bible tells me that God is love, and that I am to love the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, and mind. And it tells me to love myself and to love my neighbor, and yes, even my enemies. That's kind of a challenging task, isn't it? So how do we cope with our day-to-day troubles and problems and still try to love as God and Jesus instruct us? We pray to have the love of Jesus within us, and that love never fails. And the one who loves us most will always be there to guide us. Jesus, of course, is the perfect example. When he was on earth, he never turned anyone away when they asked him for help. He answered people's questions. He solved their illnesses. He made people whole again. He brought back life. Jesus never let anyone down. He never turned anyone away. His love was there for everyone, regardless of their standing in society or their individual position. He always lifted them up. The Bible shows us many ways to love one another, as we are commanded, that we might think so much of maybe it's about love, but each of these actions show respect for others. So keep that in mind. There are many ways that we can show respect and love without using maybe the word love just exactly in that terminology, but listen to these. Listening without interrupting. That shows love. Speaking without accusing. Shows love. Give without sparing. Shows love. Pray without ceasing. Answer without arguing. Share without pretending. Enjoy without complaining. Trust without wavering. Forgive without punishing. And promise without forgetting. Do we love in those manners? I'm going to end this morning with a story. A mother of a 9-year-old boy, Mark, received a phone call in the middle of the afternoon. It was from his teacher at the school. "Something unusual happened today," the teacher said. "In your son's third grade class, your son did something that surprised me so much that I thought you'd want to know about it." Now, mothers seldom want to hear from the teacher in the middle of the day at school, as you well know, that probably something bad has happened, or there is a serious problem of some kind. But the teacher says, "I've been teaching for many years, and nothing like this has ever happened until now. This morning I was teaching a lesson on creative writing, and as I always do, I tell the story of the ant and the grasshopper." You all are probably familiar with that story. "The ant works hard all summer and stores up plenty of food, but the grasshopper plays all summer and does no work and has no food for the winter. Winter comes, and the grasshopper begins to starve because he didn't store up any food. So he hops to the ant's house and begins to beg, "Please, Mr. Ant, you have much food. Please let me eat too." Now, boys and girls, your job is to write the ending of that story. So the teacher gave him a lesson. But your son, Mark, raised his hand and said, "Teacher, may I draw a picture?" "Well, yes, Mark. But, and as you're past, you have to write the ending of the story too." Well, most of the students said that the ant shared and both the ant and the grasshopper lived. Some said no. The grasshopper didn't get anything because he didn't work. The ant got it all, and therefore the ant lived. The grasshopper died. But your son ended the story in a different way from any other child ever. He wrote, "So the ant gave all of his food to the grasshopper. The grasshopper lived through the winter, but the ant died." And the bottom of the picture, bottom of the page, is the picture that he wanted to draw. And he drew three crosses. And he wrote under that, "He gave everything to us so that we might live, but Jesus died." That's love. Thank you. It's time now for us to come to the table of love that Jesus prepared for us and invites us. So let's sing our communion hymn. God gave instructions to Jesus. Jesus took instructions with him to the table. And during the time at the table, he taught his disciples many things. Again, he said, as I have loved you, love one another. Love as if we are one. Would you pray for us?
Let us pray. When we take communion, we are remembering Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. The bread and cup are visible reminders of Christ's love. Just as we depend on food and drink to physically live, we can only live spiritually through His joy. Amen.
On the night that Jesus sat at the table with His disciples, He took bread. He broke it. He gave it to them saying, "This is my body broken for you." Likewise, He took the cup. He blessed it and said, "This is the cup of the new covenant. It's my blood poured out for you. As often as you do this, you remember me until I return." Let us participate in His supper.
Call to giving. This morning, we give our tithes and offerings as a symbol of our lives. Receive them with love, bless them with grace, and use them according to your will. Send us out into the world to tell people the wonderful things you have done and share your love with them. Use these gifts to make us one in Christ. Let us now receive the morning offering.
Please pray with me. As we receive these gifts from this church family today, let them be the expression of our love, joy, and gratitude toward our Heavenly Father. May we always find peace through giving. Amen.
This is the time in our service we send an invitation out to anybody who has not yet made their confession that Christ is your Savior and would like to do that. We invite you forward. If you've been attending another church and would like to join this body of believers, we would welcome you at that time. Or if you just have a prayer request, the elders would be glad to greet you for that need also. Let us sing our hymn of invitation. We go this morning, let us remember that God so loved us that He calls us His children. makes us heir with Jesus. So grow in that knowledge and love. Blessings.